Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the Extra Hour. Joining me is Pat and John. If you missed the first hour, you need to catch it. We're talking about the reality now. I mean, you have concept. You have concept. And concept is what you perceive it's going to be like. It's kind of like a visionary and a great, it's a great concept. And then you have reality. And reality is how you're living your life. I mean, it's your, you know, your okay, that was cool concept. But my doctor just quit. And we talked about that in the first hour. And the reality is 83% of doctors now are talking about quitting because of the undue burden. And it just sort of gives you a great way to begin to think. And, you know, one of my desires is that VFN Radio helps you begin to just think. You know, think more than just one way. I mean, peripherally begin to think about something and don't just think about it from your own experiences. Visit the experiences of others and think about things in the context of the wisdom of God's word and then make a decision, you know, where you're going to stand with an issue, where you're going to stand with some values in the context of it, because the medical issue is on God's heart, because he says the one who nurses someone, the one who takes care of someone, to the least of these of his, is doing it unto him. I mean, he wants us to be able to take care of the, remember the Good Samaritan, he wants us to take care of people. So, you know, I think, I really believe that the church is going to quit wrapping themselves around the American flag and start wrapping themselves around the base of the cross of Christ. And we'll have a totally different perspective. And then we can honor the country while we honor God over all the concepts and perceptions of the political atmosphere, because we're not called to be political. The word political means compromise.
Yeah.
You know, there's exacts with God.
We're seeing some of that stuff happen too, you know, with the lady I was mentioning earlier, that some of the church was able to gather around her, even though she was hurting, not able to take care of certain things. They got around her, loved on her, took care of some of her bills outstanding, you know, her mm-hmm. power bill. And it was just so beautiful. All that was taken care of outside of the context of making demands on others. But the church just, you know, supporting her and loving her mm-hmm. is beautiful. It's happening, and I think you're right. We're going to see it more and more.
And, you know, if you go back, I was watching some documentaries of the British hospital. I forget the name of it over there. But when it began, it was known as the Queen's Hospital. And I can't think of the name of it, but they have all the journals. They would write journals about everything that happened that mm-hmm. day on the ward and the nurses. And it was very, you know, military-ish in the context of, it was proper. I'm going to put that military, proper. You know, you would die in a proper atmosphere. But this is like 1900-whatever. I mean, this is not like forever ago. And they didn't understand about washing your hands. When somebody was, you have 80 people in a ward, 80 people in a room, for those who don't know what a ward is, they're sitting in these open racks, basically, and they're all interchanging, they're coughing, and the nurses are going from one patient to the next patient to the next patient and not even washing their hands. And if they do something with their hands, they wipe it with a dry cloth. They wipe their hands with a dry cloth. Mm. It's like... Mm. But think about it, Pat. Like, I couldn't live in that time.
No.
But today, I mean, you go in a hospital, you put a mask on. They got a little, you know, dispensers of hand cleaning. The biggest cause of sickness and disease is transferred by people's hands, by not washing their hands, coughing and sneezing. But they didn't have that wisdom at that point. It wasn't long ago. It wasn't long ago. And you can actually see this. And maybe it will come to me on the context of, I believe it was one of the documentaries on... Amazon, something like that you can go back and see things on it. But it was just so interesting. I mean, of course, you know, I personally want to know facts and, you know, how it happened and how people acted. And a lot of people were like, I just don't want to know facts. I just want to know fiction and history. Yeah. You know, we were living in the reality. That's just the concept. But in the reality of this is that they didn't have x-rays. They, you know, they talk about in this documentary that it was in Great Britain where the x-ray equipment was invented. I think it was like 1911, 1917, somewhere. I don't know. I don't have the dates down. And for him inventing this, in other words, they would look at you and they had no idea if there was something broken, no broken bones. They couldn't tell because they just had to look from the outside of your body.
Mm-hmm.
So what they would do is just basically cut you every time something would happen to find out what was going on.
Oh.
Well, he practiced how much radiation it would take, you know, and he would have an x-ray of his hand and he'd x-ray his hand again. And that's too much radiation. That's too much radiation. And eventually what happened was is too much radiation means you die.
Yeah.
And his fingers were falling off his, and eventually he had no more fingers on his hands and they let him go, by the way, because he was no longer any service, but he finally perfected the amount of x-ray. And they were so impressed that you can look inside the chest of this man or woman and find out that there's something in the lungs, a pneumonia or something of that nature. I mean, it was just, you know, this is wonderful inventions that happened and discoveries in a very short period of time because, you know, 6,000, you know, plus years. And here we are just in the last 100 years, most things were invented. But prior to that, you just die. You get a cut. You get an infection. They didn't know about antibiotics. They didn't know about this simple thing. So somebody got a cut. And listen, if you're an agricultural society, you know, and you're going to get a cut.
No doubt. Mm-hmm.
There's a high probability you could die from that. You get a fever, you're going to die, you know, from, you're just pretty much like, you're going to die from something.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And I think the average life expectancy probably was around 40 or so during that time. But then you had, at that point in time, you had the peasants, which is the majority of the people, lived this life of just drudgery. I mean, that when you see them come into this hospital, this is you had the royalty and you had the upper crust, and then you had everybody else like us. You had everybody else that was higher, and they had lived with rats biting all over them. They were smushed up from having to till the soil and cook the food over open fires and blah. They just looked tattered and torn, and it was just horrific. And this wasn't long ago. Mm-hmm. This wasn't long ago, and that's why when you see that our founding fathers, how proper they were, well, they came from the upper crust, you know, of that, you know, the beginning of that context of that where you talked proper and you do this kind of thing. But in the context of it, that they would come into the hospital, and it was so bad at that time and what people would go through and what the requirements of life was that suicide was very, very high. Men, while they were shaving, would cut their throats.
Mm.
This is the actual journals of the hospital at the time.
Wow.
And everybody knew that's what they're doing. The pressures are so hard that when they're shaving, you got to, by the way, it was this like straight razor. It's like a knife for those that don't know it.
Mm-hmm.
And the women would drink like Lysol. They would drink this Lysol and it would just kill them. And they just didn't want to live. That's how bad it was.
Wow.
That's how bad it was, is they were having all these medical discoveries and they're learning all these different things. And so here we are, you know, a few moments later, it wasn't long ago. And now we're actually demanding that every form of medical treatment is owed to us by a government. I mean, that's a big step. And not only is it a big step, it's like, it's not even an affordable step.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they're reporting that the medical in Great Britain, that there's people that are dying unnecessary deaths in the hospital. I mean, have you ever been to the driver's license office before?
Yeah.
Have you ever been to the tag office before? Have you ever been to the tax office? I mean, I'm saying it's like, that's government controlled. Have you been to TSA when you're going through to fly on something? That's government.
Oh, yes.
That's government controlled things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, I'm having a heart attack. Sir, take a number and step back.
Mm-hmm.
Your number like 3,662. And then all of a sudden you sit down, and they go, number two, please step forward. Number two, I'm 3,000. You know, and it's like, you know, the church, we have to begin to say, God, forgive us for not being what we needed to be in society. And now we're turning to government for everything, God. You know, begin to trust us. Or what you think about it. If 97% of the church is not even honoring God with their finances, how in the world are we going to be able to say, okay, God, we can begin to establish like the Methodist Hospital in Houston. I mean, you go there and get this excellent treatment in regard to that. You have the Sacred Heart Hospitals that was started by nuns years ago, and now the nuns are out. All you have is statues of their habits and their hats, and the board have taken over of the hospital there. Mm. You have Baptist Hospital and different hospitals that have been started, Presbyterian Hospital in New York, and but what happens eventually is just they run out God out of the whole thing, and they take it over and just keep the name on the outside. But you look at the buildings, what we call church, and it's like how many people have just, you know, taken over the whole
and
thing.
And it's similar.
Like, and it's like we got to turn this whole thing around again, because God can give us concepts and finances and resources to begin to provide. If we can go across the seas
and
meet the medical needs of a foreign tribe that has never had anything done to them, or some children in the Philippines or somewhere in Nepal, and help them and do their dental and do surgery for those that are born with cleft palates and all these different things for free.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the cost of supplies,
mm-hmm.
we've got to stand up and say, you know, what are we doing in regards to our own country?
Right.
I mean, you can go all the way across the seas and fix this, and it was important to do, this child's cleft palate, but yet you make the child, your neighbor, who has a cleft palate with no insurance, that somehow they got to fight their way through some sort of red tape and grovel and whatever else to try to get their child. You know what I'm saying? It's like, we can do that here.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Which means we also then got to begin to change and believe God for people who get in office that have the same values, so they don't tie our hands and just, when you help somebody, then they end up suing you.
Right.
You know, it's a shame. I mean, you're not going to have somebody in Nepal file a lawsuit against you because of you put 4 stitches in instead of 5 stitches in.
Mm.
They're going to go, you know what they're going to say?
Thank you. That's right.
And not only that, this is what will happen too, that they'll more than likely give their hearts to God. The rest of their life, they'll serve God. But in America, you do something kind for an American, quite often, they're going to say that's not enough. You know, where's the pepperonis on my pizza? They're going to say, you know, did you see the attitude? Did you see the attitude they had when they actually did the surgery on me? Kept me alive, you know? It's just like, we're so ungrateful. And it's like, there was a time when, you know, I was just saying, Lord, I just want to go to a place where people will be grateful.
Mm.
The people that are loved appreciate the fact that they're loved, instead of in America, quite often, which you struggle with, you can't love an American enough. You can't do enough for them.
Mm-mm.
You can't do enough for so many people. Or if you do love them, then they twist it around and call it something it ain't. And he's like, he's looking at me. He's like, sweetheart.
Please.
You know, it's so unloved that nobody knows how to respond to it.
You don't even
recognize it when it shows up and thinks that it's something that it's not. And in the context of that, it's like, there's some serious, it's not a political issue. It's not a political problem. Which is a compromising, that means compromising problem. That's what politics means. It is a value issue with the church, with us, with Christians who love God. And then, because we turn to government, now we have government telling us how we're going to be able to take care of medical needs of people. And we turn to lawyers when Jesus, we're told very specifically, you know, you don't sue each other, you know, in regards to that. But sometimes things happen that, you know, you work things out before you get there. But the context is that you can't even, you're already picking your lawyer out before you even finish the treatment.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing, we need lawyers, just like we need carpenters to build houses. But in regards to the abuse of the whole thing, and it's like, I think it's not all of that. I think it's just us. And
what type of care are you going to get from a physician who's looking at you thinking, oh my goodness, you're scrutinizing every single thing I'm doing. You know what I mean? Is this going to be a lawsuit later?
right.
You know what I mean? You're putting
which
in a
means
really...
his fees are going to be cranked up because sure. he's going to back himself up or she's going to back herself up with insurance to cover it.
Yep.
They're going to give you every test because they're seeing down the road that you are going... You're at least they're picturing a witness testifying mm-hmm. the fact you didn't give them A test or B test or C test.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to give all those tests. And then once they do, they cover themselves in the context of that. And you probably just assume, I don't know what the numbers are, but probably maybe 50% of that was just cover their assets.
Mm.
You know, cover to be able to stay in business. And now what's going to happen in the context of, and it's like, it was government the problem? Was the doctor the problem? Was the patient the problem?
Mm.
And it's all of us. It's like, Lord, forgive us for what things have come to in our nation. And you think, how is this going to be fixed? Let me tell you how it's going to be fixed. It's going to be fixed with a third grade awakening. It's going to be fixed by preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's going to be fixed by us living the life that we profess we have in our hearts, living it on the outside, being children of the light.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to work. There's just too many things that are astray. There's too many trails that have gone the wrong way. And you're not going to fix it by managing this thing differently. An administrator is not the key.
Mm-mm.
The key is us turning to God and crying out to God, and God began to change hearts, change the hearts of the leaders, change the hearts of the doctors, change our hearts of the patients, change our hearts of the business owners, change our hearts, change the hearts of the stockholders, change the hearts of America. And he can do that. That's when you hear third grade awakening. That's why you want it. That's why you want to cry out to God, because God can change things in a moment, in just a twinkling of an eye. In one encounter with God, everything you thought that would never change could be changed instantly. And I just encourage you to begin to say, you know, I'm going to pray for a third grade awakening. God, and God revealed to me what that is, and begin to study the first grade awakening and the second grade awakening and how they came in the context of the same kind of environment. But because of that, I mean, at the first great awakening, the byproduct of the first great awakening in America was the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
That was the byproduct. After the first great awakening, it led to the point where God touched the hearts of some and said, listen, we need a nation that we're free to worship God.
Mm-hmm.
Salvation is personal. That's what came in the first great awakening. We got to get right personally before God. Second great awakening in America... What was the byproduct? What came after that? The freedom from slavery. It was broken over America. And it came on the heels of or after the Second Great Awakening. Imagine what's going to be broken if we just cry out to God and begin to go after him. And what happens, all these folks that are being held captive by the adversary to do these dark things to the people of America, they get saved. They get set free. Or God just rids us of them. And all of a sudden, we have a third grade awakening, and it's like they thought it was over before the first grade awakening. And they thought it was over before the second grade awakening. But guess what people were saying? They think it's over, right? It ain't over till God says it's over.
That's right.
It is not over till God says it's over. So I want to encourage you, you know, you're going to bog yourself down trying to figure this thing out. You can't figure. Darkness is darkness. Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. You can talk light all day long to someone who chooses to be dark, and it's not going to... But you can be saved. They can give their hearts to God. God could touch the environment, the DNA of the environment, and all of a sudden, you know, everybody's on fire for God. All of a sudden, everything that they couldn't see because they were in darkness, they can see because now they're in light and they know where they are and they know where they're going. And a third great awakening. The only hope for America is a third great awakening in God. That's it. That's it. Not just some bitty revival, not this, not that, awakening. This whole sleeping church awakens and runs after her Lord, runs after our Savior. But since it's happened twice before, come on, it's not that hard to believe for. And they did it on horseback. They did it on horseback. They did it on horseback without PA systems, in the woods.
Without AC.
Without AC. Then that means we can do that today under God's leadership rapidly. A third great awakening. Believe God with me.
You're listening to VFN Radio.
don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's author, speaker, and mother of three, Tracy Bianchi, suggesting that you may need to replace that mirror on the wall.
One of the statements I hear when people start talking about vocation and profession or hobbies, I'll often hear women say, well, I'm just a mom. Mm. And I invite them to drop that qualifier. There is no such thing as, quote, just a mom. You are a mom, and you are a woman who is raising these children, and you're doing the best with the blessings you've been given. But I also invite women to make a list of the things that they are good at, that they are passionate about, that have nothing to do with their children.
You're more than just a mom, so cultivate those passions and giftings that you have, because your mirror is much bigger than you might think. You can hear more from Tracy Bianchi today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to PFN Radio every day, you know, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. I don't know if you heard about the podcast, but I'm excited about the podcast. The podcast for VFN TV, the daily radio program. Look, think about it. Mm-hmm. A podcast, this is what a podcast does. It happens without you doing anything.
Oh, that's good.
Once you subscribe to the our podcast, the entire day's programs, teachings that are loosed, if they're available on VFN TV, released, the highlights, you know, the each individual highlights that you see on the VFN Torch. I mean, this automatically, if you subscribe to the podcast, and it's a podcast, it will just download somehow miraculously into your computer, into your iPhone, into your Android, and you don't even need to be hooked up in the Wi-Fi or anything like that.
It's good.
It just will automatically download it so you can listen to what you want to listen to when you want to listen to it, because it's sitting inside your phone, your iPod, your Android, your computer. It's sitting in there like it's a song that you purchased and sits in your playlist. That's what a podcast is, which is pretty cool, because what that means is this, that everything that's ever happened in the broadcast, all these different topics and wisdom and everything that we're sharing with you to encourage you, but also to encourage others, that you can have them yourself. You don't have to buy them. You don't have to sign up to get something. They just download automatically through the podcast. Make sure you check it out. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe to the podcast today.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about, and continuing from the first and now in the extra hour, about healthcare. But also, I want to talk about insurance. When you look at these folks that are doing things like, they're saying the 1% and the 99%, and they're talking about Wall Street and these different things, obviously, if you've heard some interviews, what the people behind them that are asking them and paying them to be on the street, what they're saying is, they're saying that corporate world is the issue. Mm-hmm. But if you protest the CEO, you're missing it if it's your neighbor that actually owns the company. You know, if it's the stockholders, your neighbor, it's the portfolio, and these different names and all. But, you know, when they sell you, when somebody sells you an insurance policy, like a homeowner's insurance policy, for example, and because of all the hurricanes, the based on what the department for the state of Florida have told me, is that insurance companies are trying to book it. They're trying to slide out of Florida because of the hurricanes that happened in Florida. And it's like, you know, you want to take our money, you know, mm-hmm. and have a lifelong commitment up until the time that you actually had to pay something. And it's like, how does this thing, what a brilliant business, right? Okay, I'm going to take your money and I'm going to tell you that we're going to cover you. We're going to cut, matter of fact, we'll run commercials, you know, little umbrellas and stuff, and it won't rain on you. It won't rain on you. Mm. But, and then you find out if it rains, we don't love you anymore.
All right.
We're out of here. And the state of Florida is having to insure people because insurance companies started dumping them and dropping them. But then we have companies that when they sell you a policy, it's so confusing and the writing is so small. And they just tell, and your agent tells you, you're covered. You're covered. Mm-hmm. We got you. You got fully, they give you that confident thing. I'm going to check it out. Mm-hmm. Aha. Mm-hmm. 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 You know, and then they go, yes, you're full. You got enough, you know, got enough coverage or something must, you know, happen or whatever. Oh, and then something happens. And then something happens. You make a claim. And this is what the whole point. A claim means this. Okay, you're actually saying you buy a car, for example. And you give them the money for the car, and you have coffee over it. Oh, it's so cool. Oh, it's great. Yeah, I just love my car dealer. He just gave me his car. And all of a sudden you show up, you say, okay, I'm coming to claim my car. And they look at you like, why do you want this car? What really happened? What do you mean what happened? Why don't I pay for the car? I'm coming to give a car. What's up? We were having a great relationship until I came to pick the car up. I'm serious.
All right.
It's amazing how good our relationship was and how good our relationship is until we come pick the car up. It's like, wasn't this all about the car? Remember, we were actually saying, hey, I might need this car, and so I'm going to give you this money. And if, in fact, I need the car, I'm going to come pick it up, okay? Oh, sure, yes. Oh, my goodness. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for. Just anytime. Don't you hesitate. We're going to get you a car, right? We're going to take care of you. The insurance company would be saying, I'm using an analogy here. And then you can pick it up, and all of a sudden you have like Vito from the mafia sitting here talking to you going like, what's your problem? What's going on? I was like, did I do something wrong to you? I mean, what happened? This aggression that comes from some insurance agencies when you actually call them up and it's like, are you serious? Is that how you're talking to somebody that paid you for 20, 30, 40, 50 years? I'm telling you, in law enforcement, when I would go work a burglary, for example, and somebody broke into somebody's house and they stole a lawnmower and some other things, a television. And this lady, her husband is passed. She's in her 60s. Her and her husband paid this insurance company forever. I mean, forever. And she made a claim because of the theft. Somebody stole her stuff, so she made a claim. And the insurance company dropped her. I'm talking about she's in her 60s. And they dropped her. They dropped her, and she's in her 60s. And everybody in America goes, that's just business. Not in the eyes of God. You took her and her husband's money all the way up to the time she's in her 60s. A lousy, buy the lady a lawnmower and a TV or whatever it was. It was nothing. I know this. I took the report. I knew exactly what was taken from her. I know where it was taken. And I know the lady's personality. She was in her late 60s. And she was actually real feeble because of things that she had gone through. And you just automatically pick the phone up and go, okay, I need that car. And you automatically just pick the phone up and go, I need to make a claim on my insurance. And they dropped her. There's people that are going for medical coverage that they paid for all their life, and they're being dropped just like that. And it's like, this is the moment I needed you. This is the moment I needed you. Mm. And there's people that have their homes that are protected. And all of a sudden, they make the, and this is the moment, and then you're going to talk like that to this lady or to this man? The first conversation you have with them is a moment of aggression with psychology, guerrilla marketing concepts, and all that stuff you've been taught in your little satellite classes going into all your branches about how to fend off the possible people that you're going to have to pay. I mean, that's not how you do business. That's not, and as Christians, listen, as Christians, that's not what we do. We're not supposed to be a part of something like that. You got to be honest. Do you know where a lot of the money comes from that you borrow to go into your houses? It comes from insurance premiums, that money that you pay every month. They go out and lend that money out and make interest on it. That's where all that money, you could be paying your house as you're paying your mortgage. I mean, you could be paying twice. You're paying your insurance premium who, you know, takes that money, and then they loan that money out to your mortgage company, and the mortgage company pays for your mortgage. So now you're actually paying your insurance company. They're loaning it back to you, making money on it while you're paying your mortgage company. It's like, I'm paying everybody here. Mm-hmm. Yeah. At the end of this, can I get my house? At the end of this, can I have a claim? And I'm just saying that maybe they don't have it all wrong. You know, maybe God is beginning to turn this nation upside down because of those kind of practices. If you don't believe God is a God of justness and how we do business, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, talks continually about how unjust scales, unbalanced scales, things that don't weigh out right, that he's against it. He hates mm-hmm. it. He hates business done that way. And how many Christians today say it's just business? It's like, that's not... 82% obviously ain't reading the word. He don't know. Let me tell you this. He hates that. Mm-hmm. He hates you taking advantage of people. And this is what he even says. He says this in his word. He says, I see this stuff in your life, in your house, that you got this way. I see the boat. I see the furniture. And this is what he says specifically. I see the belongings of the widow in your home. I see that. Ill-gotten gain. He's not okay with you robbing the widow woman by not paying her policy when she had a lawnmower or television stolen. It was time for you to pay, you know, a couple hundred dollars when she's paid you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars over the last 50 some odd years or whatever it was. And it's like, you know, justice. Mm. Lord, we cry for justice. Yes. And so we can't say, and I hear people, I mean, I hear people like, we got to have this capitalism. It's like, we got to have Jesus Christ. You know, and whatever business concepts come out of that, that's cool. But Jesus first, you know, business second in regards to that. Not business first and Jesus second.
Right.
Because that's just Jesus, by the way, not just mm-hmm. business. And so you're seeing these things, and it's like, what does it come to? And then you call your agent and say, because what they've done is they've divided the collections mentality of the person you're going to make the claim from the agent themselves. So you have the agent, the front guy, the front lady, that talks to the person like, oh, yeah, it's just so, oh, isn't that a beautiful color car? Oh, yeah, we're going to take care of you. And then when it comes down to it, they're going to tell you, the one that treated you so nice, they're going to say, oh, we don't handle that part. You're going to need to talk to the claims department. You know, and you call the claims department, they're like, rawr! It's like, oh my goodness. And they act like they're disconnected when it's like, no,
right.
Same company, same title at the top of the paycheck right there. It's all the same. Oh, everybody's yeah. the same. And by the way, and God knows it's the same. So I'm thinking, we're going to have to hold on here because I really sense that she's coming down. Mm. She's coming down. I mean, we're going to be humbled. And, you just can't treat people that way, and you can't sit back and watch people treated that way and think, even though you can sleep, that God never sleeps. He's constantly looking over the situation. And God is a just God. And you can stand up in your company and say, you know, we're just not going to do business like this. And by the way, the company was started by somebody who said, hey, I think I'm going to start a business, which means If you are all that and that's what you want to do, start your own business and run your business with ethics. Run your business with morals. Run your business in the fear of God. Even if when somebody makes a claim, for example, it's going to be the last thing you do before you close your doors because you told them that you would. You told them that you would. At that point, that's when you say, okay, this is what I did. It's been a great run. We did the business. Let's pay it out and let's move on. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we can't just automatically just say, hey, these guys that are saying, you know, the 99%, I mean, God cares about the widow. He cares about the people. And we're supposed to care about them too. We're supposed to care about them too.
You know, in God's News Behind the News, Benjamin Netanyahu is now talking and saying more. You know, Iran just had a new president, Rouhani, who was just elected as president. And what's important here is that the policies still have not changed. They still have not changed.
Which policies?
Well, the policies that they're wanting to enrich this uranium. They want to get this bomb. They want to destroy Israel. They want to annihilate everything that God has established there.
Yes.
You know.
Iranian policies, yeah.
This is all their policies. There's nothing changed. You see, in one administration, I can't even pronounce his name, the previous president from Iran. The new president, he has a...
Ahmadinejad?
There you go. There you go.
That's the one.
I tried that once. I got caught up in the... and I couldn't finish it, but... that's it. But, this was a guy who had the nerve to say that the Holocaust never existed.
Mm.
And this is a guy who comes to the UN and boldly just continues to spew these lies. He's no longer in office... But it really doesn't matter because, like I said, these policies don't change. Rouhani is this new president who was just recognized by the Khomeini and the president of the United States.
Yes. Do you notice that?
Right after. It's interesting how that happens.
Yes.
But they're saying that, listen, Netanyahu said that in the last 2 months since Rouhani was elected, Iran has installed 7,000 new centrifuges. And these centrifuges will keep spinning. And he says, listen, this is not a secret. He says, Rouhani is boasting about this. This is this quote. He says, Rouhani says, I talk and I smile and I enrich uranium.
This is the new president?
This is the new president of Iran.
And what's his name again?
Rouhani.
Rouhani. I thought you were talking about Rwanda.
No, Rouhani. Not Rwanda. Rouhani.
Okay.
And it's important that we don't fall asleep. There's one thing that we talked about Israel as we've been speaking.
But he says he does it for energy, that they're doing it for power. But that's why he does it.
Although they have no light there. Where's his power?
Yeah.
Didn't someone unplug the extension cord and the light went off? And you know what I'm saying? It's like, really? Have you been to... It's stuff that people believe. You've been to the Middle East. I mean, I went to Israel. I had to get all these different converters and stuff to put into the... You know, I had a guy knocking on my hotel room. I don't know. What is it? You had to buy these converters.
It's 220. I think it's 220.
And in Israel, in the blessed land, one of the hotel managers is knocking on our door at a very nice hotel saying, we would like for you to conserve water. And just, I didn't even think about
Americans,
that.
John's long showers and his hair dryer.
Oh, that's it. My hair dryer, it was over. And I'm thinking, wow, that's interesting. I had to go down. Speaking about that, I had to iron some clothes for a meeting we had that night. Listen to this.
Could you just have a hot rock and rub it against something?
No, I expected to find the ironing board and the iron in my room.
You did.
False expectation. I went all the way down to the laundry room and hung out with the other workers. Hey guys, how you doing? In the basement.
Right.
That was an interesting experience, but nonetheless. Nonetheless, if Israel, who's blessed in that region, has to conserve, you know that these places like Iran and, come on now, we know that they're not trying to, the world knows that they're not trying to create this for energy purposes, but in
fact.
Does
it really matter what the world knows anymore? It's just like people just keep lying, you know, just take the mic, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. But I love how the prime minister continues to stay on the forefront of this. It's amazing how people fall asleep so quickly And you're like, oh, we're hearing this again. Yeah, we
when
need
you're
to.
Israel, you can't sleep.
You can't sleep.
Not only does God not slumber or sleep, Israel
no, they don't sleep. They don't sleep.
Some, yeah, I don't blame them.
Believe me, believe you me, someone's on that wall.
Oh, yeah.
Someone's on that wall.
Lord, protect Israel.
Lord, protect Israel. And for us as believers, we need to stand with them on that wall. We need to stand with them prayerfully, watchfully, and continue to communicate and educate others on what is happening so that we can get behind Israel, get behind what God is doing in Israel, and support policies in our government that are going to be behind Israel. If they're not behind Israel, hello? It's a very important question. When you're looking at candidates, people running, especially for the office of the presidency, a good question is, you know, what is your policies? What are your thoughts about Israel? Are you willing to stand with the only ally that the United States has in the Middle East?
In America, in our history is, and I know we're going to break, is, you know, what is your concept of breathing?
Right.
You know, it's like, and that's how serious this is, because we might not be able to breathe again if, in fact, we do not get it right with God and with Israel.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
I need you guys to pray for me. I want you to know that I have started an exercise program.
You?
Yes, I have.
Like an organized program.
Well, you know,
like
I want to be in shape. I want to be in shape. I want to be ready for what the Lord has in store. And I want to get, you know, get all just in shape, you know, toned up.
A-shape.
I'm A-shape now.
Another shape. Either way.
So this what I'm doing, right. What I'm doing is I actually went around the block several times today.
Really?
Several times. I just got out there and I just went around the block real, real fast. And you're going to be surprised at this.
Wait, question. Were you walking or were you driving?
Well, you know, I wasn't driving.
Okay.
I was rapid movement. Okay. And I was going around real, real fast. And you're going to be surprised that I didn't even break a sweat, not even once. Now, three times around the block.
Wow.
And I was moving. You heard the speed of light. I mean, I not that fast, but I was moving.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I didn't even break a sweat.
Interesting. How do you do that?
Well, very, very simple. I just took a wood block, put it on the floor in the living room, and ran around it three times real fast. And I ran around the block. And, you know, that's the new fitness program. Give me a break. Give me a break.
Really? Really?
Well, listen.
That's the best you could come up with?
Well, look, right now, you need to pray for me, because right now... Right now,
Lord, give him a bigger block. I just asked for a bigger block.
I'm staying with my in-laws right now. You know, our home is being prepared for us, and we're having a great time spending time with them, and it's been really great.
Right.
But, you know, I just fall under this conviction. They are, like, healthy people. They're fit people. Mm-hmm. I mean, I look at my father-in-law, and I just get convicted. He's 68 years old. And he just did, I don't know if you heard about this, it's called a Spartan race. They have like these obstacle races.
Really?
And I guess they have them all over the country. They have them, I think there's one called Tough Mud or Mudder or something like that. I don't know. You know, as you know, I don't know about these things.
This is obvious.
I don't know about these things, but this is like a 3 mile, I mean.
Who did this?
This is my 68-year-old father-in-law.
Really?
Uh-huh. I mean. Listen, I've got pictures, dude. I've got pictures. I mean, look, He is in the ground, in the dirt.
Where do they do this
at?
Oh,
wow.
They have them all over the world. We're going to have a website up for you at the Torch, but they have them in Vancouver and Quebec and Toronto and just all over the world and all over the country. And they have thousands, thousands of people in this open field. Mm-hmm. And they're just, you know, doing these high ropes and low ropes and getting under in the dirt, man.
Oh, I can't believe that.
It's intense. That. He finished.
How long is it?
Finished.
In like 10 miles or something?
I think it's 3 miles. I think it's
3 miles? Okay.
It's not like
still,
no regular.
I mean,
it's a major, major obstacle course. And I'm like, stop bragging. Stop it. Stop. And then, you know, if that doesn't help you, then my brother-in-law, you know, and his wife, they're like Mr. and Mrs. Fitness.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
There is not
any. You're feeling really good.
No, I'm not feeling good. I'm not feeling good.
After he told you about the Spartan race, did you tell him that you ran around your block?
Well, actually, I got the block idea. It was in his house. So I said, I like this. This is a workout that I could do. But, you know, they come around and I'm like, I feel guilty if I eat something. I'm like, guys, there's not an inch of fat on there. I'm like super, super, super shaped. They are in incredible shape. They gathered Pensacola Fit Club.
Wow.
And they have a website, PensacolaFitClub.com, and you can check those guys out, man. But they are intense in their workout. And let me tell you something, they got some results. They haven't quite gotten me there yet. Not yet. Maybe one day I'll visit. I'm afraid to maybe venture into that intensity. But those guys are doing phenomenal.
You know, I think about like just like what you're saying as far as running a race. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of race that Paul writes about in running a race towards Christ.
Mm.
And because there's obstacles that are going to come against us, and there's obstacles that are going to come to refine us, but it's just like run our race like we're running for a prize. Just like anyone else would prepare for any race, we're called to run a race for Christ.
Yes. I like that race now. That race I'm running good. Right?
Yes.
By God's grace.
There you go.
But I have to do the other race too.
Right. So you said those city blocks?
No. Wood blocks. Wood blocks.
Well, okay. North, they got bigger blocks.
Yes, but I wasn't running up north. I was, you know, not the wood block. But one day, I mean, then he does this thing where, you know, I don't know what you call it, but he jumps up in the middle. I mean, jumps up as high as he can and extends his hands and his legs. I don't know what you call that exercise. It looks like you're
star
flying.
Jumpers.
Oh, my goodness.
Star jumpers.
Wow.
Dude, he's just showing off.
Didn't you used to do that kind of stuff, Steve?
Used to. What is
like a couple months ago?
Isn't there a subject?
Well, let me tell you something. They're getting fit, and I'm soon.
We're praying
soon
for you.
Yes, thank you.
Give
them
a bigger block.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, they have lettuce and all this good stuff, and all your hamburger next to them. Said, you want something? They go, no, we don't need that. Oh, I love these guys. I love them.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Joining me is Pat and John. We were talking about healthcare, and I want to talk a little bit more about it in just a moment, because there is a secret that's going on right now that other countries have figured out. And the Netherlands have been doing it for the last 40 years. I think it's a secret that maybe you're going to be really impressed about this. But first, I want to talk about what the BBC is reporting in regards to Snowden. Snowden is the one that worked with the NSA, which is the people who are gathering all this data on...
everyone?
Yes. And everything. But they're not looking at it. At least they don't have the authority to look at it.
Right.
All right.
They're closing their eyes and hitting enter. And
yeah, he's like, do you look at this data? I don't have the authority, sir, to look at this. It's like going in there, your kid's like, did you go in there and take a cookie out of the cookie jar? Dad, I don't have the authority to go in there and take cookies out of the cookie jar. He's like, you know, anybody with reasonable sense, they're going to go like, what's the crumbs on your face? Again, I must say, I don't have the authority to get cookies. The cookie jar is like, you know, any father's going to go, anyway, So the thing is that what they're reporting is that these encrypted emails, that there's companies you can have encrypted email, for example, missionaries who are in foreign fields use encrypted email so that they can, you know, the email is not interpreted and you're talking about Jesus and all that in a land that wouldn't, then you can have this encrypted type email. Businesses do it.
Or can cost you your head, right?
Yeah, and it's one particular company is called LavaBit Service, and they closed their company down in Texas. They closed their company down because it is reported that that's what Snowden was using in there. But not only that, the reason why they closed it down too was, and they're not, I mean, this is what the BBC is reporting, because they're saying we can't, for legal reasons, we can't say why we're closing it down.
Mm.
But they're saying that they realized they cannot provide the service and the commitment that things are truly encrypted, that they're actually being viewed too.
Mm.
Even the company, the firm Silent Circle, has shut its email service down, BBC's reporting, because they say they can't keep it wholly secret, all secret. And it's like, it's out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's just like you're talking about Ahmadinejad's replacement right there. You know, people, I've never seen so many people that are just looking you square in the face with one eye and saying one thing and then doing it, actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But but what this means is, this means we are so close to the Lord's coming, it is ridiculous. I don't know if you're post-trib, mid-trib, or whatever trib. You know, pre-trib.
Pan-trib.
Pan-trib. It'll all pan out in the end. That's what he means by that. But in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, like a thief in the middle of the night, our Lord is coming after his church. And these systems will be kicked in. There'll be systems, worldwide systems. Economy, business will be ran under the leadership of satanically held captive people to do his will. The beast economy talks about in Revelations. I think Revelations chapter 12. I mean, they're just waiting for, the stronghold here that's preventing a lot of things from taking place is the U.S. Constitution and JJ, the Jews and Jesus, the Jews and Christians. You know, that's the issue of the beast wanting to take over and begin to rule the thing the way it wants to rule the thing. And of course, it comes in by saying, hey, we just want to, you know, we just want to just take care of you, to be able to help you. I want to just help. You don't need to think anymore. We'll just think for you.
Right.
You don't need, listen, we're much smarter than you and we're much more efficient than you. And we can help you, and they can. I mean, it's amazing. Technology can begin to, you know, do things quicker and faster. And what computers basically do is do what would take us forever in such a rapid way that it's like, I like the way that the founder of Apple described it back in the 70s, and we have it on the VFN Torch. The founder of Apple,
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs is talking in the 70s now, trying to explain to probably a Kiwanis meeting or something, something like that, you know, and a Rotary Club. And he's talking to them. He says, well, imagine if you had an employee and you say, listen, I need you to go in the other room. I need you to pick up this piece of paper there. I need you to bring it back to me. And so you have the distance of how long it's going to take for them to get there and get back and give you the paper. That's pretty basic. And he says, that's the only thing computers do, he said. That's all they do.
Mm.
He says, but the thing about the computing power is it just does it faster, which means you can take, and at that time computing technology was slower, you can take, it's almost like having, you know, 100 employees doing it in a microsecond. Doing what? Go and get that piece of paper and bring it to you. It pulls from, I mean, garbage in, garbage out, good stuff in. It's something that's there, has to be put there, but then the technology can get it to you quicker. A search engine, for example. How can that happen? Well, it can go grab that information and pull it to you quickly. So it's not presently intelligent in the context of you are intelligent. You're creating the image and the likeness of God. it's pulling from what already exists, and it's just doing it at a rapid rate. Mm-hmm. Whoa, that means then it can determine things being bought and sold, and whether you use a debit card or credit card, and what's your eating habits, and all these little discount cards you get right now. Do you have one of our company cards, little discount tag hanging on your keychain, so we can give you a discount? It's like, I'm buying your milk. You should give it to me anyway. Why do you have to track me to give me the discount on the milk? I mean, think about it. He's got like 15 on his keychain. I mean, think about it. I'm buying your products. Why are you now going to tag me to give me, you know, 25 cents off on my milk or whatever? Mm-hmm. And it's like everybody wants it because they can do that now. But the technology, they can do it real quick. Like they can match every purchase you ever made, which determines, you know, you're eating it. Like, I've noticed that you bought 4,322 Oreo cookies, John, in the last 10 years. We're sensing
more that like he's ice cream.
He will be a risk on the medical.
That's right.
We're going to cancel your insurance. And it's okay because the IRS has already tapped into.
Insurance doesn't have that information.
Yeah, right. No, we already checked all that out. All that is together. Mm. And the medical branch of the IRS is going to be contacting. Well, never mind. They've already got your checking account already. They've already taken your money out of the account because you're a higher risk now because of the Oreo factor. This is how it's going to work. And all that can happen in the context of when they fund this medical plan coming up, they call it the Obamacare, but it's not the name of it. Affordable Health Care Act, is because now IRS, they hired like 33,000 agents or something like that to be able to handle this part of it. Let me tell you what IRS does. IRS, if you don't pay your taxes, if you don't pay, and that's what this thing is, it's called a tax, the Chief Judge Roberts called it a tax. And that's what this is. This is a tax, healthcare tax.
Yep. That's what
it is. And if the government's got to take care of it, they're going to have to pay for it. And that's how the government does it. They do it through tax. You're going to owe to Caesar what you owe to Caesar. You got to pay these taxes. But if you don't pay, you can't put your hands on your hips and say, well, I ain't going to pay my taxes, because they take your stuff. Immediately, they seize your bank account. They seize your property. They seize your assets. And they do that not to oppress you, but to liquidate you. to make sure that you can pay for, you know, what was going on. That's the whole thing. And that's what's about to happen because of computing power, because of data and the way the computers work and technology works, that's what's taking place. And if we allow all the merger of all those different things, understand, simple computing can bring that all together with the power to tax and the power to seize property for failure to be able to pay for that medical aspect of it. That's called captivity, by the way. That's called being held captive. You can't buy or sell without the mark. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.